circle of golden film stock. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Gold letters on a black background. Menachem Golan and 21st Century Film Corporation presents a Damien Lee production, a film by Alan A. Goldstein. Charles Bronson. Death Wish 5, The Face of Death. Leslie Ann Down, Robert Joy, Michael Parks. Chuck Shamata, Miguel Sandoval, introducing Erica Lancaster. Special appearance by Saul Rubinek and Kenneth Welsh as Lieutenant King. Casting: Kathy A. Smith, Ann Tate. Based on characters created by Brian Garfield. Young women put on makeup and high fashion clothes in a dressing room. Story by Michael Colleary, Alan A. Goldstein. Associate producer: Helder Concalves. Music composer: Terry Plumeri. Out in the New York street, guys push trolleys of clothes towards the venue.
Hey, hey, so what we're gonna do now? We're gonna push it or what?
Yeah, I'm gonna pull it, I'm gonna push it.
Grey-haired Paul Kersey walks down the street. He's smartly dressed in a grey shirt, red tie and black overcoat, and has a moustache and a rugged, lined face. A dark limousine drives towards the venue.
Now watch your back.
Production designer, Saba A. Cortez. Editor, Patrick Rand. Director of photography, Curtis Peterson. Kersey glances round as a well-dressed man in his 50s gets out of the limo, flanked by bodyguards, and goes into the venue. In the dressing room, assistants help the models to get dressed and do their makeup. Executive producer, Ami Artsy. Producer, Damien Lee. Screenplay and directed by Alan A. Goldstein. Guests take their seats beside a catwalk. Among them is Kersey, who sits down beside a teenage girl.
Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, Paul.
Olivia Regent, an attractive, elegant woman in her 40s, steps onto the catwalk.
I'm so happy to see you all and to welcome you to my 10th annual Springline collection. I'm proud to announce that 50% of the proceeds from tonight's show will go to the New York Save the Children's Foundation. Now, fasten your seatbelts and on with the show!
Three models, two in white and one in black, appear in archways wearing stockings, hot pants and lattice-style tops. They wear long platinum blonde wigs and strut down the catwalk. The man from the limo swaggers into the dressing room with two of his men. A photographer calls over to him.
Mr. O'Shea! Hey!
One of O'Shea's men grabs the camera.
Checking. Say shit.
Shit.
There you go. Sal. Oh.
Yeah.
Take Chicky downstairs, the factory.
Tommy.
Don't let Big Al leave till I see him.
Whatever you say. Let's go, Chicky. Hey, Strunz. Come on. Let's go.
Sal and Chicky, O'Shea's goons, leave. Olivia comes in and walks past a model.
I love it, but you should be ready.
There she is.
Tommy, you shouldn't be here today. It's bad for my company.
Maxine, wait for me in the limo.
He turns to a woman.
Max! You, wait, limo.
Maxine leaves and O'Shea leans up close to the back of Olivia's head.
Your company. That's our problem.
He saunters off and she sighs. Machinists and textile workers are busy in a clothing factory. A tubby, balding, bearded man leads Sal and Chicky past the machines.
These numbers are bad, Albert. This is very bad. You're way behind.
What can I do?
Pray.
How many times do I have to tell you about that thing?
Jeez.
I'll tell you what you do, Albert. You tell Tommy you made a mistake, you can fix it. I hate to see you get hurt, I mean it. I mean, you're already fat, ugly, and stupid. You don't need any more problems, am I right? Am I right? Am I fucking right?
What are you, fucking deaf,
huh? Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't need this fucking shit.
Stocky, 50-ish Sal takes a pill, while younger, dark-haired Chicky sucks on a lollipop. Backstage at the fashion show, O'Shea, who wears a dark grey suit and brown-lensed sunglasses, looks through a curtain and sees Chelsea sitting with Kersey. He walks over to Olivia and grabs her wrist roughly.
Oh, I see Chelsea's here.
This is not the time.
That's my daughter, sitting with a geek.
She's not your daughter anymore. I judge took her away from you, remember?
I never forget. Love.
He walks away, leaving her sitting in a chair, holding her wrist. In the factory, Sal holds a list of figures and berates Albert.
What's the matter with you, huh?
Jesus Christ, do you believe this guy?
This is pathetic.
O'Shea comes in.
Yeah, Albert. Big, fat Albert. How you doing, Al?
Mr. O'Shea, there's no need to...
What do you mean need? I always have need. Well, say something. Stutter. Do something.
I can't play with the numbers anymore, Mr. O'Shea. We're going to have a problem.
Oh, I say, you don't understand. You got to clean that goddamn wax out of yours. We have to make the dirty cash clean. You got that?
But we're moving more cash than we are clothes.
Really?
At the fashion show, a woman in a long, flowing white dress walks down the catwalk and photographers take pictures. Kersey comes into the dressing room and lays his hand on Olivia's back.
Congratulations.
Oh, hello, darling. Where's Chelsea?
She's glued to her seat. I think she's going to take after you.
You should get back. You're going to miss the best part.
The best part is here.
She winces.
What's the matter?
He looks at her bruised wrist.
How'd this happen?
Chelsea's father's here.
He did this to you?
It's a way of life for him.
Where is he? Olivia, where is he?
He's downstairs in the factory.
Come on.
In the factory, O'Shea picks up a mannequin and carries it up to a pool of acid in a fenced-off area.
Come on, move your ass out.
Mr. O'Shea, you...
Here she is! The enchanting Esther Williams! Whoa! Show us your best stroke, Esther!
How much ballpark?
Mr. O'Shea, please.
No, give me a number.
Come on, tell him.
That was $1,500 worth of merchandise.
$1,500? Chicky, you have a handful of high fashion there.
Chicky grabs clothes.
Evening wear. You're the greatest, Tommy.
You're stupid. We're moving more clothes and cash. Solve your problem.
With all due respect, Mr. O'Shea, I follow Miss Regent's instructions.
O'Shea nods to Sal, who calls over to a guy standing by a button on the wall.
Reg!
Reg presses the button, and the workers leave their machines and head out on hearing the buzzer. O'Shea paces in front of Albert.
You and me, we're gonna take a little walk around the woodshed.
He pulls Albert by his tie.
Mr. O'Shea! Mr. O'Shea!
That's my name.
Mr. O'Shea, is
this... You're repeating yourself.
Is this necessary?
You're boring the shit out of me. You know what your problem is?
You know what your problem is?
What? You and your boss think you don't have to service your partners anymore. Let me tell you something. I'm partnered up with over 35 companies, all of whom are very responsive and very helpful, with the exception of this company, because this company is too fat. You? You're too fat! Look at you. You look like a beached whale.
Mr. O'Shea!
Alf.
Tried to warn you, didn't I? You wouldn't listen.
An electric saw.
Look what we have! What?
Sal holds Albert down and O'Shea moves the saw towards his stomach.
Just acting, Albert. Relax. But in all seriousness, my God!
That's gross.
Big tub of guts.
I think you ought to have Dr. O'Shea's 1 second weight loss.
Don't
move, Batman!
I think Al's got the message here, don't you, Al? Huh? Don't you?
Ah! O'Shea jams the saw against Albert's stomach. Reg runs over.
Bullshit!
What's that? What's
bullshit,
that,
Reg? So are you!
Here, man, I make you the head, nigga, and you talk to me like that?
Fuck you, son of a
bitch! Hey! Reg, that was really stupid.
You got a big mouth. Now apologize to the man.
I ain't shit!
Now, Reggie, you know damn well if you don't say shit, you'll lose 90% of your vocabulary.
Well, you people just never learn, do you?
He's cut.
There you go, Sambo. I think that wounded Baron dance out of here.
Reg helps Albert to his feet.
I ain't taking the shit anymore.
Hey, Reg, take your problem up with the NWACP.
I think that little bully's gonna cause trouble, Tommy.
Trouble breeds trouble.
Olivia and Kersey.
What is
this?
Oh, Tommy.
Is this him?
You got a problem?
Chicky points a gun.
The guns make you nervous?
Guns have their uses. Idiots with guns make me nervous.
Chelsey comes in and O'Shea lowers Chicky's arm.
Put it away.
Well, there she is. How's my little girl?
Seeing the blood on his jacket, he takes it off.
Accident, man. $3,000 suit. Can't take me in. Anywhere.
Chelsey goes over to stand with Olivia and Kersey. O'Shea walks out, followed by Sal and Chicky.
It's gonna be one of those days, Chicky.
What's your brother mumbling?
I was just saying to Chicky, it's a nice day.
Reg helps blood-stained Albert out of the factory and beckons to a police car.
Think about it, Reg. Tommy will kill you.
Fool Tommy, man!
Workers see Reg help Albert into the squad car.
Man, Tommy ain't gonna like...
I couldn't keep him out, Paul. He saw an opportunity and he just pounced the unions, tracking. He's infiltrated every aspect of my
Mommy,
business and most
Mom,
everyone
quick.
Else in the...
Come over here!
District. I could tell you a lot more.
You told me enough. The DA is a friend from the past.
Look.
Olivia gasps when she sees the electric saw dripping with Albert's blood. Kersey's studying an architectural plan on the dining table in his large, elegant stone country house. Thick snow lies outside, and a dark sedan parks up on his driveway. Kersey walks over to the door and opens it. A short, smartly dressed, curly-haired man was about to ring the bell, a mustachioed man behind him.
Pa.
Ryan.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you. Come on in.
Wait. This is my assistant, Hector Vasquez. Hector, meet Paul Kersey.
How do you do? Nice to meet you, Mr. Kersey.
Stewart. Professor Paul
Stewart.
Right, right, right.
Come in and sit down.
I should have remembered that. In fact, I'm the one who gave you that name.
No, it wasn't you. It was your boss. And you were working with the witness protection program.
Right. The new life we gave you working out?
Yeah, still teaching architecture.
So life's good?
Depends.
On what?
On you.
Yes. Well, you said in your phone call that a friend of yours needs my help.
Olivia Regent.
The fashion designer?
Yeah.
Well, wasn't she married to...
Tommy O'Shea. You see, O'Shea has involved himself in her business. In the whole fashion world, as a matter of fact. In a very, very bad way. She would like to get him out.
Well, maybe we can do each other a favor. I haven't been able to touch that guy. When could you come in and talk to me?
Tomorrow?
Perfect. Tommy O'Shea. I hope she realizes her whole life's gonna change.
She hopes it's for the better.
On stage in a smart, dimly lit restaurant. Waiters in black tuxedos take orders and carry trays between the tables of well-dressed clientele. Kersey and Olivia sit at a quiet corner table chatting. Kersey reaches into his shirt pocket and takes out a ring box, which he places on the table in front of Olivia.
I bet it's beautiful.
She opens the box.
It is. Oh. I can't tell you what this means to me and Chelsea. She so needs a father.
Can I take that to mean a yes?
Come here. With all my heart.
Kersey leans over and they kiss. He smiles and raises his champagne glass.
To us.
They drink. Olivia notices O'Shea and a group of friends come into the restaurant, and her smile disappears. She doesn't put down her glass properly, and it topples over.
I'll be right back.
She dabs her dress with a napkin and goes. O'Shea watches her and flexes his lips thoughtfully. Kersey looks over at O'Shea's table. O'Shea sits with Maxine and Sal and Chicky and their dates. Olivia goes into the tastefully decorated ladies' washroom and wipes her dress with a towel. The door opens and a figure walks in wearing stockings, white high-heeled shoes and a lacy white skirt and jacket. The figure, with long, wavy auburn hair, locks the door and steps over to Olivia.
I've always been a fan of yours, Miss Regent.
Olivia smiles, then looks uneasy and turns to the figure, who grabs her. In the restaurant, O'Shea causes Maxine to spill her wine on Sal.
Oh, jeez, Bobby, come on, what happened here?
It's all right, okay?
Okay, sweetheart, don't worry about it. Okay?
Sal's given a napkin.
Get out, pal!
In the washroom, Olivia has a plaster stuck over her mouth as her attacker ties her to a chair facing a mirror.
There, that's better.
Oh, God damn dandruff. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's true, isn't it?
Look at that. You, what a face you've got. Look at it.
Not me, you.
Look at your face. Look at that beautiful face. Take a good look at it. Because I'm going to have to take it away from you. See, why do you... It's best to be careful who you talk to. We have ears everywhere. We know what you're thinking of doing. Don't do it. It's a bad idea. So bad. So bad!
The attacker slams her face into the broken mirror again. In the restaurant, O'Shea stares over at Kersey, who looks back at him calmly.
Come here, baby.
Maxine lays her hand on O'Shea's cheek and turns him to face her. They kiss. In the washroom, the attacker gently strokes Olivia's bloody face.
The next time, your daughter won't have a mother!
He smashes her face into the mirror again. Still sitting at the table, Kersey checks his watch and frowns. In the washroom, the attacker unties Olivia's wrists and wipes his face with a tissue. He lays his hand on Olivia's head.
Remember.
He walks out in his white high heels. Olivia lifts her head and looks into the shattered mirror. She pulls a shard of glass out of her pulverized face. Trembling in shock, she gets to her feet. Kersey gets up from his table and walks towards the washrooms. O'Shea watches him and takes a drag on his cigarette, a smile forming across his lips. Kersey walks up a flight of stairs and passes the attacker coming down.
Excuse me.
Kersey carries on, and Olivia stumbles into his arms. Kersey walks down a hospital corridor beside Olivia, who lies on a gurney, bandages covering her face. Olivia's wheeled into a room, and a doctor stays with Kersey.
She's stable, fair, tough gal.
On the outside.
I'm not going to pull any punches. Even with reconstruction, the face will never be the same.
That evening, Brian and Hector have joined Kersey at the hospital.
What was O'Shea doing at the restaurant? It has to be more than coincidence.
No, it has to be.
Well, how did O'Shea know she was going to testify?
I don't know. Paul, I didn't know that she would need protection until after she came in.
I should have known. I underestimated O'Shea. It's not going to happen again.
It's not your fault. She's not going to change her mind about talking to us, is she?
I don't know.
Paul. Paul, this thing is not just going to go away. Paul, let me just have a couple of words with you, all right?
A man and woman come out of a lift.
Oil. Vasquez. Why is it that my investigation started only an hour ago and the chief prosecutor's already here?
Olivia Regent, the victim, is part of an ongoing investigation in my department, Lieutenant, that's all.
The Tommy O'Shea investigation?
What do you know about that?
Tommy O'Shea was at the scene of the crime. Wherever he stinks. I mean, I watched this guy coming up through the Irish gangs, and now he's ruthless. Now he's going big time. He's a scumbag. But we believe the perp might have been somebody else. Recognize him?
A photo.
He had a lot of makeup on. I don't know.
May I, sir?
You know him, Vasquez?
Looks like Frederick Garrity.
A.K.A. Freddy Flakes. He's got some sort of skin condition. Causes bad dandruff.
And when Tommy O'Shea has a special job to do, he usually uses this piece of scum. Likes disguises as a security freak. Very lethal guy.
What about Tommy O'Shea? He's the guilty one.
Paul, unless I have something more to go on, my hands are tied.
O'Shea has an ironclad alibi, right? But you were there.
I see I'm wasting my time with you guys.
I got some more questions. I'll be calling you.
Kersey leaves.
Still not quite sure what the hell you're doing here, Hoyle.
Well, it's a little over your head, Lieutenant. Why don't you just do your job, and I'll do mine. Okay? Excuse me.
Lieutenant? I remember when he was fixing parking tickets in the DA's office. Let's get out of here.
Gray-haired Lieutenant King and slim, dark-haired Detective Amori walk off. Kersey parks his black Jeep SUV outside his house and gets out. His housekeeper opens the front door to greet him.
How's Chelsea?
Don't worry, Professor. She sleeps upstairs.
He goes inside. Kersey steps into his office room and closes the door behind him. He takes off his overcoat and hangs it over the back of a chair by his drawing board. He unbuttons his jacket and stares at a photo of Olivia on the wall, before moving a picture and opening a wall safe.
How'd this happen?
Chelsea's father's here.
He did this to you?
It's a way of life for him. I could tell you a lot more.
You've told me enough.
I couldn't keep him out. He saw an opportunity and he pounced the union's trucking. He has infiltrated every aspect of my business and most everyone else in the Garment District.
Tommy O'Shea. I hope she realizes her whole life's gonna change.
She hopes it's for the better.
I'm not gonna pull any punches. Even with reconstruction, the face will never be the same.
You got a problem?
Guns make you nervous?
Guns have their uses. Idiots with guns make me nervous.
Kersey's taken a small revolver out of the safe. O'Shea's limo is parked outside Olivia's factory. Inside, Reg is alone in the gloomy factory, sliding punch cards into a rack on the wall. O'Shea walks over with Sal and Chicky.
For it was Reggie.
Sal and Chicky grab Reg.
Little Reggie's been telling tales and talking out of school. Now who little Reggie been talking to?
I ain't said nothing to nobody but you, you piece of white trash.
I had no idea you were so prejudiced.
Reg spits on O'Shea's shoe.
I usually get a shine with that. Do what you want with
him. Reggie, there you go saying stupid things again.
It's out.
You know, Reggie, you're looking a little rumpled. What do you say we straighten
no.
out?
No.
You want you to go right downtown?
No.
There. Not a good thing, Reggie.
No.
Not a good thing for your
no.
appearance.
No. Yeah.
They clamp Reg's hand in a steam press.
Reg.
Oh.
We know you've been talking to somebody. Why don't you just tell us? Tell us who you've been talking to.
I ain't said nothing to nobody.
He didn't say nothing to nobody.
Let's make a match.
No! Here. No!
They do the same with his other hand.
Ooh, I bet that's smart, eh? Reg, what? Why did you do it? And don't lie to me.
I said nothing to nobody.
You lied. Let's straighten this hair.
No!
They trap his head in the steam press and push down.
Well, Reg, now you're all straightened out. Say goodnight.
Sal kicks him.
Chickie, we'll meet you and Reg down in the car.
Get up. Get up.
Reg, his head blistered and scalded, gets on his knees and tries to open his swollen eyes. Chickie points a gun at him.
Good night, Reg.
King, Amori, and Albert.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah. Here it is. Looks like a pen, doesn't it?
Yeah, when we get this new recorded evidence, man, we're gonna nail O'Shea.
Albert, be very careful.
Don't worry. We are gonna get those bastards, right?
You're damn right. You know how to use this?
Show my clothes.
Okay, we're gonna make a hole in your shirt there.
Amori slides the secret bug disguised as a pen into Albert's pocket. In hospital, Kersey watches the doctor examining the bandages on Olivia's face. Kersey turns away and stares at the floor, a pained expression on his face. Kersey's parked on the street and watches two black limos pull up. O'Shea and a gang of his goons get out of the limos and go into a building. Kersey drives off. Sal and Chickie get out of a maroon Jaguar and go into a shop, Miss Emma's Designs.
This Goomba will pay Tommy for protection.
Let's have some fun.
Kersey parks his Jeep SUV over the road and watches the shop. Chickie orders people out of the shop, while Sal manhandles the manager. Kersey looks through binoculars, watching through the shop window as Sal stabs the manager's hand. Sal and Chickie rob money from the cash register. Kersey drives off as they come out of the shop. Detective Amori is parked in a side street. She extends the aerial of a radio receiver and glances back towards Olivia's factory. Albert comes out, followed by Sal and Chickie.
What about the laundry shipment coming this afternoon?
Laundry? Oh, you mean the clothes for the homeless shelter?
What?
You know, homeless people. People without homes.
You forgot, Albert? You don't care about people less fortunate than yourself? That's disgusting. I'm going to strike you from my Christmas list. Mind if I borrow your pen?
Sal reaches towards Albert's shirt pocket. Two pens are in there, one of them being the listening device. Sal's fingers hover over the fake pen, but he takes the real one with a knowing smile.
Thanks, Albert. Goodbye.
Albert walks away. Amori's been listening in her car.
Shit, we made him.
Albert walks down an alley and pulls the pen transmitter out of his pocket. Amori races down the street after him. Albert rips out the transmitter and throws it onto a heap of garbage. Gun in hand, Amori runs down the alley. Albert rips off the transmitter's battery pack. He throws it down and trudges towards a main street. Amori turns the corner and sprints towards Albert, who walks down the street, his hands in the pockets of his raincoat. A blue sedan turns onto the street, driven by Freddy Flakes, back in male clothing. Amori runs onto the street.
Flakes, out of my way!
The sedan speeds up, swerves onto the pavement, and hits Albert full on, sending him flying through a restaurant window. Freddy backs up, and Amori aims her gun at him. He drives straight at her, ducking to avoid the bullets. He skids the car round, smashing Amori off her feet with the boot. She flips over like a rag doll and lands in a heap on the road. Kersey drives over and gets out of his SUV, gun in hand, but Freddy's already speeding away. Kersey runs over to Amori and takes her pulse. Later, she's in hospital.
Sorry, guys, that's all we could do.
The doctors cover her body with a sheet. Kersey stands waiting in a busy corridor. Lieutenant King comes out of the trauma unit, his head bowed.
Well, how is she?
She's gone.
What the hell are you doing there anyway? You're not thinking of going back to your old ways, are you?
Is that such a bad idea?
Let the cops take these guys down. You know, sometimes the law works.
And sometimes it doesn't. You know, these people, they steal, they murder, destroy people's lives, and get away with it. They have alibis, money, lawyers, power. They have everything. Tell me something. How long have you been trying to take these guys down?
16 years. But these guys are pros. I mean, it's not like some gang of doped-out muggers.
16 years? Well, it's a long time to be failing.
Kersey walks away, leaving King standing dejectedly in the hospital corridor. Two women are cleaning up outside.
I gotta go.
Watch out.
Come on, relax. The sidewalk, huh?
Come on, who's the bat, huh?
He takes another greedy bite of the cannoli and gets into a white Corvette. Kersey drives on. Sal gets out of the maroon Jaguar and meets a smartly dressed middle-aged man outside a large department store. Again, Kersey watches from his car. The man gives an aluminium briefcase to Sal, who gives him a playful punch in the stomach. Sal laughs, but the man doesn't seem too jolly. Sal gently slaps the man on the cheek and goes. Sal puts the case on the back seat of the Jag, then gets into the driver's seat and drives off. Kersey parks a black sedan outside a terrace of large, well-to-do houses. He gets out and opens the passenger door. Olivia gets out wearing a black coat with the collar pulled up high.
Paul, I don't want Chelsea to see me like this.
Chelsea's still at my place. Housekeeper's looking after her. I thought it best until things settle down.
Thank you.
They walk into Olivia's large, beautifully furnished living room. A black and white poster-sized picture of a younger Olivia hangs on the wall. Olivia looks at it, then turns away, her face covered with deep, jagged scars.
Look at my face, Paul. Look at my face. I can't let Tommy get away with this. I won't let him get away with it.
Olivia, you don't know how hard it is for me to say this, but let the law deal with Tommy.
Okay. Whatever you say.
First, I have to make a telephone call. I think that Hoyle's phone's been bugged. So go along with me on this, will you?
District Attorney Hoyle's office.
Attorney Hoyle, please.
May I ask who's calling?
Paul Stewart.
Hoyle.
Right, it's Paul.
Paul, yes, and how's Olivia? I hope she hasn't changed.
I called to tell you
that Olivia has decided not to testify.
Paul.
Wait a minute, let me talk to you.
Can I talk to you about this for a minute?
She's made up her mind.
I'm afraid I support her decision. I'm sorry, Brian.
All right.
Kersey keeps listening. Olivia looks on as Kersey hangs up.
Somebody else was listening.
A woman supervises a clothing delivery in an alley behind a shop. Chicky marches over to her.
Hey, Tommy's really pissed, Gail.
Kersey watches as Chicky grabs Gail and pushes her back onto the bonnet of a car.
Where is it?
I don't have anybody.
Don't turn my chain around. Where is it?
In the car.
Chicky takes a briefcase out of the car and marches back to his Corvette. Hector's at Brian's house. Brian's wife's cooking dinner.
You gotta stay. I'm out of here.
Come on, you're losing weight. You gotta stay for dinner.
Give me a break.
Hector.
What?
I'm not gonna take no for an answer. You're staying for dinner.
You are.
Hector, can I see your gun?
No.
No. What's the matter with you? He's gonna stay for dinner, honey. First of all, because it's free.
Second of all, look at this face. Look how lonely he is.
And I'm hungry.
Good.
Okay, I'll stay.
Fine.
Wait a minute. You're not trying to set me up like you did last time, are you?
Would I do that?
Yes, you
would.
Yes,
you would, actually. Did you,
No, really. I have no idea who it is. I had nothing to do with this.
I knew it.
Is this your friend Marilyn? You like her. She's got a mustache just like you.
Great.
Now, look, Hector, really, I do have a friend. She's a great girl. She just came in from out of town. I would like you to meet her.
Brian walks to his front door and opens it.
Paul, come on in.
Kersey steps in.
What are you doing here?
I came by to tell you that Olivia will testify.
She will testify? Why didn't you tell me that on the phone?
I think somebody's listening in to your conversations.
Jesus Christ. Okay, I understand. I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. I'll send over an agent McDonald to her place right away for security. Okay? Come on in.
No. Got to get back to Olivia.
Right, she's doing the right thing, Paul.
Kersey leaves, and Brian goes back into the kitchen.
Hector, she is going to testify. You call McDonald, tell him and his guys to get over to her place right away. I'll see you down at the office, all right? Okay, honey, I'm sorry. I got to make some calls.
In her bedroom, Olivia gazes into a mirror and starts to put on lipstick, but stops sadly. Kersey comes in and steps up behind her, resting his hands on her shoulders.
Tell me, Paul, what do you see?
I see the woman I'm going to marry.
Oh, promise me. Promise me if anything should happen to me.
Nothing's going to happen.
No, promise me still. You'll take care of Chelsea.
Of course, I promise.
I love you.
And I love you.
They embrace. Kersey lets go of her and walks out of the room. Kersey goes downstairs, opens the hall door, and peers through the spy hole in the front door.
Yes? Dwight McDonald, Justice Department. Professor Stewart, we'd like to secure the building, sir.
Freddy holds up a badge, two men standing behind him. Kersey looks again.
Professor Stewart!
Kersey runs to the stairs.
Olivia!
How rude.
Freddy picks the lock.
Olivia!
Paul?
Olivia! Get away quickly. Use the fire escape. Quick!
Gentlemen.
There he is!
We're here!
The other two men are Chicky and Sal. They blast through the hall door with an assault rifle and pump-action shotgun. Kersey dives around a corner, out of the line of fire. Olivia scrambles up another flight of stairs to an attic room. Chicky kicks the hall door open.
Onward!
In the kitchen, Kersey opens a cupboard in the wall and hides inside. Chicky, Sal and Freddy storm into the kitchen.
Where the hell is it?
He's not gonna get away.
They file out into the hallway. Kersey emerges through a door on the next landing, and Freddy spots him.
Bingo!
Kersey throws himself across the landing. He grabs a vase and throws it onto Chicky, who's halfway up the stairs. Chicky, Sal, and Freddy make it onto the landing, and Kersey ducks into a room.
I'll get him! We'll check the other room! That bitch is gonna die! Chicky, get out!
They search rooms.
Get in there!
Freddy opens a door and finds a staircase leading up to the attic room.
She's gotta be up there.
Chicky, let's go!
Sal opens a door and sees Kersey in the shadows.
Peekaboo.
He opens fire, smashing the mirror Kersey was reflected in. Kersey hits him with a tree in a pot.
She's gotta be up there!
Olivia desperately tries to open the skylight.
Son of a bitch!
Sal throws down his non-working gun. Olivia opens the skylight and climbs out onto the roof. Freddy and Chicky come into the room and open fire as her legs slide out through the skylight.
Go help your brother, I'll take care of her.
Chicky goes. Freddy pokes his head up through the skylight and sees Olivia running across the rooftop. He aims his pistol. Olivia arches her back and topples off the rooftop. Kersey looks over at a window and sees her body hit the concrete.
Olivia!
He opens the back door and crouches beside Olivia's body. A pool of blood has formed around her head, and he gently cups her face in his hands. Chicky and Freddy blast their way through a door, and Kersey runs as they make for the back door. Freddy shoots at Kersey, who performs a swan dive off their level, falling about 50 feet to street level. Freddy looks over the edge and sees Kersey on a heap of full bin bags.
Let's get out of here!
Freddy and Chicky run back into the building as police cars arrive. Hector gets out of a car and yells to the officers.
Check that side! Check the other, move! Go!
A uniformed policeman helps Kersey to his feet. A courthouse.
Reputed mobster Tommy O'Shea was released after questioning in the murder of fashion queen Olivia Regent. Mr. O'Shea, what are your plans?
I don't know. Might go fishing. Need a vacation.
Seriously?
Seriously? My life's a goddamn soap opera, seriously. Going in tomorrow.
Lieutenant King, why did the Organized Crime Bureau call in Mr. O'Shea?
There is nothing unusual about this. We always talk to the ex-spouses of murder victims.
Yes, but don't you find it...
Thank you. That's all we have to say. Thank you.
At home, Kersey turns off the TV. Chelsea sits beside him on the couch. He gets up and looks out of the window as a dark sedan pulls up and Brian gets out of the passenger seat looking pensive. Hector gets out of the driver's seat and Brian turns to him.
Look, wait for me in the car, right? I'd better do this by myself.
Brian walks up to the front door. Kersey answers the door with Chelsea.
Hi, Paul.
Say what you came to say.
Chelsea, I'm so sorry about your mom.
Chelsea looks down.
Paul, can we talk?
You know, every time I talk to you, somebody gets hurt.
Paul, listen to me. You come before the grand jury and identify those guys who...
He glances at Chelsea.
Look, one of those guys will give Tommy up in a deal, and I'll airtight the case with other people. It won't just be you.
Brian, get your men together and leave.
Kersey shuts the door. Brian sighs heavily. He walks back to the car and talks to the leader of the men guarding the house.
Take your team back to headquarters.
Kersey and Chelsea walk to the window.
I miss Mom. I wish you were here.
The cars and van drive away from the house. In his luxury, modern-style house, O'Shea talks on a cordless phone as he walks downstairs.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Gotcha. Well, you do good work, counselor. Well, boys, tomorrow's the big day.
Big day? What big day?
Baby's coming home to Dada.
Your daughter coming for a visit?
What's that?
Your daughter. She's coming for a visit?
No. She's coming to live. Permanently.
Gee, baby, I never knew you felt that way about her.
O'Shea's face darkens.
What's mine is mine.
What did you say?
I don't know. I couldn't hear. I'm starting to mumble like you, so I couldn't hear.
What?
He scowls back at Sal. Sal shrugs at Chicky and carries on reading his newspaper. Wearing a grey sweatshirt and black tracksuit bottoms, Kersey jogs through a stretch of snowy woodland. He sees a police car and dark limousine heading towards his house. Kersey runs back to the house. Inside, Hector and police are there, and O'Shea sits in a chair. Chelsea has a coat on.
Chelsea, don't forget your gloves and your hat.
Kersey comes in.
I don't want to go, Paul. I want to stay with you.
What's happening, dear? What's going on?
Please, into the car, miss.
Leave me alone.
What is this?
Sorry, Professor Stewart, it's not even a close call. He has the legal rights. I apologize, sir.
Hector leaves.
Read it and weep. She's coming with me.
Like hell she is.
Kersey punches O'Shea in the face. Sal and Chicky grab Kersey and knock him out with a log. They help O'Shea to his feet.
Son of a bitch is quick.
Sal, Chicky and O'Shea walk out, leaving Kersey unconscious. His housekeeper runs over.
Professor Stewart! Professor Stewart! I'm all right! What's happened? Professor, what's happened? What is it? Oh.
Kersey opens his wall safe and takes out his small revolver and a box of bullets. He drives along a rural road.
Look at my face, Paul. I can't let Tommy get away with this. I won't let him get away with it.
Now, Paul, listen. If you'll just come before the grand jury, identify those men.
Ryan, gather your men together and leave.
You weren't thinking of going back to your old ways, were you?
That's such a bad idea. Let the law take these people down. You know, sometimes the law works. And sometimes it doesn't. These people steal, they murder, they destroy people's lives, and they get away with it.
Unless we have something else to go on and our hands are tied.
I'm wasting my time with you guys.
Chicky and Sal's dark-haired, middle-aged sister is sweeping up outside their cafe. Inside, she takes a cannoli and a cup of black coffee over to Kersey, who sits alone reading a newspaper at a small table in the otherwise empty cafe.
Yeah, that looks perfect.
Grazie.
Sal and Chicky come in and Kersey hides behind the paper.
Yes, yes.
How you doing?
Okay. Hey, Sal.
Yeah?
I gotta take a whiz.
You gotta take a whiz.
Where's Mama?
She's in the back.
Chicky, your cannoli's on the table up front.
I'll see Mama later. Tell Chicky I'll see him at Tommy's, okay?
You drive careful, Salvador.
Hey, congratulations, I see you finally got a customer.
Sal leaves. Kersey puts his paper down on the table and walks over to the counter.
Can I have a refill on the coffee, please?
Hey, buddy, you took the papers?
Help yourself.
Kersey keeps his back to Chicky, who goes over to his table and takes the newspaper. Kersey takes a shaker out of his pocket and sprinkles white powder onto two cannolis on the front table. He turns back to the counter. Chicky's sister gives him another coffee, and he stays by the counter to drink it. Chicky comes over and bumps into Kersey as he sits down at the front table. Kersey takes his coffee back to his table. He sits down and watches Chicky take a huge bite out of a cannoli.
Chicky, you listen to me. You eat too many of those things, you're going to turn into a blimp.
I'll do a happy blimp.
Chicky polishes off the first cannoli. Kersey sips his coffee and watches Chicky read the newspaper and start on the second cannoli. Chicky's chewing slows down and he starts to breathe heavily. His head lolls back.
Chicky, are you okay? Chicky, what's wrong?
The sister runs outside. Kersey gets up and walks towards Chicky. Kersey looks down at him.
You got a problem?
Chicky's eyes widen when he sees Kersey. Smiling, Kersey shoves him onto the table and leaves. The sister comes back with a cop.
All right,
Father, God of all consolation, in your unending love and mercy for us, you turn the darkness of death into the dawn of new life. Show compassion to your people in their sorrow. Be our refuge and our strength to lift us from the darkness of this grief.
Chicky lies in an open coffin. Sal consoles his mother. O'Shea sits beside Freddy and yawns. Chicky's girlfriend cries.
No, no, he treated me like shit. I can't believe I missed him.
He's not holding up too well.
I sure wouldn't want that to be me.
O'Shea checks his watch. The upper section of the coffin is closed. O'Shea gets up and walks towards the exit with lean, thin-faced Freddy, who has brown, swept-back hair.
Cyanide.
Having a clue. Everybody's going to ball games together. It doesn't make any sense.
Chicky. He had no concept of security. He was, like, naked. You should learn from this.
Sure. Become a paranoid schizophrenic like you.
You got it wrong, Tommy. Protection, man. It's like being back in your mother's womb. It's so safe.
Hey.
Freddy wipes his shoulder. Kersey slowly drives past Freddy's house and studies the building. It's behind metal gates and is entirely painted battleship grey, almost making it look like a fortress. Several movement sensors are dotted around in the grounds. Kersey drives on. Backstage, models get ready for another fashion show. On the catwalk, models gyrate in skimpy chainmail-style garments that leave almost nothing to the imagination. The audience doesn't look very impressed, apart from Sal and a couple more of O'Shea's guys, who watch lustily.
Oh my God, look at that!
A model struts up the catwalk wearing a chainmail-style bra and tiny thong.
Oh my... I tell you, Tommy really knows how to buy. This is what I call quality merchandise. Stuff is gonna sell way better than with that broadhead, I'll tell you that.
You're right, Sal. Tommy's a genius.
Yeah.
Backstage, models get made up and put on the clothes. Young Chelsea sits alone in a couch in the corner near O'Shea's office. Inside the office, O'Shea lies on a chaise lounge and watches Maxine put on stockings.
Max. Slither over my way.
What, baby?
He glances down.
It's showtime.
She rolls her eyes a little, then straightens her figure-hugging dress and sits down beside him, sliding her hand up his leg. Outside, Chelsea can hear them.
Something wrong?
Just keep at it.
Well, nothing's happening again.
Holy shit, are you? I'll squeeze your head. Take a hike.
Unhappy-looking Chelsea closes her eyes. Maxine comes out of the office and shuts her eyes, resting her head against the door. She pulls her dress back up onto her shoulder and looks across at Chelsea, who turns away. Maxine looks embarrassed and walks off. Hector, wearing sunglasses and a black overcoat, walks along a street and goes into O'Shea's house. Sal scans him with a metal detector.
Turn around. Are you ticklish? You want to talk to your mother to do this, Sal?
Oh, what do we have here?
Hector hands over a gun.
Put it down.
Yes, sir.
Happy?
Hector walks through to O'Shea in the living room.
Mr. Vasquez, I never really got a chance to thank you personally for that tip on Olivia.
That's okay.
He sits on the arm of the couch.
Money was your thanks.
Who killed Chick?
Well, you've got a problem. Ever hear the name Paul Kersey? Vigilante killer a few years back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was your ex-wife's boyfriend.
Professor,
You people have him?
Not anymore.
He did Chicky?
Of course he's no amateur. You pissed him off.
How do we find him?
I could remedy that situation. But it's gonna cost you.
No kidding. Have at it.
Deal.
Hector walks off, then turns back.
You know, Kersey's gonna be going down the list. Get it?
Hector points his finger like a gun and O'Shea waves him away.
Hey, Hector.
Yeah.
O'Shea acts like there's a smell.
Is it something you're wearing?
I don't know, Tommy. Check Sal.
Scumbag.
Hector leaves, and anxious-looking Sal takes a pill.
Jesus Christ.
We gotta call Freddy. Tell him.
Don't worry about Freddy. You know Freddy. He's in the womb.
What?
Womb.
The streets are filled with people in a shopping district. In a toy shop, a model train whirs around a track. Kersey picks up a soccer ball with a remote control handset. He places the ball on the floor and pushes the handset levers forward. The ball rolls off down an aisle. Kersey smiles, walks down the aisle and picks up the soccer ball. He takes it over to an assistant at the cash register.
Birthday present?
A treat for someone special.
How lovely. Won't they be surprised?
A mushroom grey Porsche pulls into the driveway of Freddy's house. Freddy's tall blonde girlfriend, wearing a tight black leather coat, gets out of the passenger side, and Freddy walks her to the house.
Oh, God, do you ever look great in that outfit? Do you think it'll fit me?
That depends. Are you into pain?
The only place I feel safe anymore.
I feel like some wine. How about you?
You go ahead. I gotta keep my head clear.
They walk into the kitchen, Freddy scratching his head.
Of course, the stress is making me itch.
Are you sure you don't want some wine?
Yeah. Maybe milk. Calm me down.
No, milk's bad for your dandruff.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta get a new dermatologist. This guy's a joke.
His girlfriend's wearing a tight black leotard-style outfit.
I'll give you some buttons to push.
Yeah. I just gotta calm down, you know?
Oh, I'll lighten up.
You sound like Tommy. Tommy's being stupid. He's being careless. He thinks he's got a couple of guns, a couple of goons. He's gonna be safe. I'm starting to worry about him. He used to be smarter than that. You know, what happens if Tommy goes down? Right? You think he's gonna be loyal to me?
Outside, Kersey gets out of his black SUV and glances around cautiously. He walks towards the front gates, tossing the soccer ball into the air. Freddy and his girlfriend lie in the bath. She shampoos his hair.
This stuff is supposed to kill every flake on my head.
Yeah? It smells like the stuff they use on cockroaches.
Call them cockroaches.
She holds her fingers above his head like they're antennae. Kersey peers through the main gates at the quiet house. He kneels down, lifts the soccer ball through the gate, and places it on the ground. He activates the remote control handset and steers the soccer ball up the driveway towards the house. Security lights come on and lights flash on a control panel. Freddy sits up cautiously.
Stay put. I'll be right back.
He climbs out of the bath. Kersey stays outside the main gates and steers the ball towards the house. Freddy springs out of the house holding a pistol poised. Kersey rolls the ball away as Freddy stalks around, his eyes peeled for intruders. Wearing a bulletproof vest over black clothes, Freddy hears something and runs around a corner. He aims his gun, but there's nothing to shoot at. Freddy's done a circuit of the house and comes back round to the front. Kersey rolls the ball into the middle of the driveway and Freddy spots it, lowering his gun in relief. He walks over to the ball and picks it up. Kersey flicks a switch on the remote and a red light flashes.
Hey, Freddy. I'm going to take care of your dandruff problem for you.
It explodes. Freddy! His girlfriend jumps out of the bath. Freddy's upper body is on fire, and Kersey gives a satisfied smile. Freddy drops to his knees and slumps forward. Kersey walks away. Freddy's girlfriend comes out of the house. Wearing a silky red dressing gown, she runs over to his burning body. In his office, Brian reads a newspaper with the headline, Body Count. Hector comes in.
Brian?
Yeah?
I got some news for you.
I don't want any more news today, thank you.
Sorry, but I just got off the phone with the mayor's assistant. The mayor's on a real rampage about this vigilante thing.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised.
And he's going to be calling in a few minutes.
The assistant?
No, the mayor.
First Bacconi and then Flakes. He's going down the list. You make sure O'Shea is covered, all right?
Yeah.
You want to get that?
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Hector leaves.
Coyle.
It's Paul, Brian.
Jesus Christ, where are you? We've been looking all over for you. Paul, you can't take the law into your own hands. You're in a lot of trouble. You've got to let me help you.
The way you can help me is to meet me at Olivia's house around about 10 o'clock. And come along, will you?
Paul?
Hector's been listening in on the other line and Brian hears background laughter.
Honey, I gotta get off the phone.
Hector hangs up the other phone and a look of realization falls across Brian's face. Kersey's black SUV pulls up outside Olivia's house, and Kersey gets out. He walks up the steps to the front door and lets himself in. In Chelsea's unlit bedroom, Kersey sits staring down at a rag doll with bright red hair. He raises his head as the door opens behind him, and Hector steps into the room. In the mirror, Kersey sees Hector pull a gun and aim it at his back.
I didn't think it would be this easy, Kersey.
Kersey spins round and shoots Hector twice in the chest.
Neither did I.
Brian rushes in and gapes down at Hector's blood-stained body. He rubs his forehead nervously.
You're right. You can't trust the justice system. He would have killed you, Brian.
Brian nods.
Yeah. No judge, no jury, no appeal, and no deals. How do you feel about it?
I'm scared.
What are you going to do?
Paul, I'm not even here.
Kersey smiles, relieved. Brian nods and walks out. Freddy's funeral.
Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayers and be merciful to your son, whom you have called from this life.
O'Shea and Sal sit with Maxine and Freddy's girlfriend.
Terrible. In the kingdom of light and peace, we ask this
when life goes on.
Lord. Amen. Father, God of all consolation.
A kid runs into the church and all the men aim their guns at him.
Children, please, my children, this is the house of the Lord. Put away those weapons. My children, please, let us continue.
The kid hands a letter to a guy, who hands it to O'Shea.
Be our refuge, what is and it? Our strength.
To lift up, he reads, then screws it up.
To the peace and
it's
life.
The asshole.
O'Shea walks out and all his men follow him.
Where are you going, my children?
O'Shea and some of his goons step into the unlit factory.
Tommy.
What?
Over there.
Hi.
A wooden crate labeled to Tommy and Sal.
I'll open the goddamn thing, dummy.
A guy opens the side of the crate to reveal a corpse in a suit. Sal walks over to the corpse and rolls it out. It slumps onto the floor, and he looks down at the blood-stained body of Hector.
You know, it's the first time I've ever looked at that son of a bitch. It didn't irritate me.
Sal opens his pill bottle and throws a handful into his mouth. He looks over at the guy who opened the crate.
Ship him to Jersey.
Hector's dead eyes stare glassily into space. Two limos pull up outside O'Shea's house. O'Shea gets out of the lead limo flanked by a number of his men, who check that everything's safe before heading inside with O'Shea. Sal gets out of the rear limo and goes inside after everyone else. In the living room, Maxine, wearing just a baggy man's shirt, is sitting on the couch reading a magazine as O'Shea and Sal come in.
Mac. Couple of cappuccinos. And something to eat. And then upstairs and check out Chelsea.
Maxine goes into the kitchen. Sal and O'Shea take off their bulletproof vests. O'Shea sits down and Sal paces nervously.
This is no good, Tommy. This is a vendetta that we brought on ourselves, see? And now Vasquez is gone. That's terrific. That's terrific. This is bad for business.
Forget about Vasquez. He got what he deserved. You can always buy somebody else. Just concentrate on Kersey. Concentrate on Kersey.
Concentrate on Kersey. We got every soldier that we can spare out looking for that maniac. Oh, Jesus Christ, Tommy! I want out. Ever since I was a kid, I followed you. As soon as we dust this Kersey asshole, I want out. That's it.
What is it, Sally? What is it?
What do you mean, what is it? Look at me! My blood pressure's going through the goddamn roof, for Christ's sake! I don't know, ever since Chickie's gone, it don't make sense anymore.
Your blood pressure. Part of it's your diet. Every time you sit down to eat, you eat like you're going to the electric chair.
I don't need you to tell me how to eat. I know how to eat, thank you.
Just concentrate on Kersey. You know, I think we ought to give the lamb to the wolf.
We'll catch Kersey using Chelsea's bait.
What are you talking about, lamb, wolf? What are you talking about?
Kersey. He knows every move we're making. And somebody's helping him out. You're the lamb, Sally.
What, are you selling me out? No!
No. You listen to me. You do the same thing you do every Sunday morning. You go to church like you go to church. You drop the cash at Olivia's. Do everything you do just like you do on Sunday.
Sure, and get barbecued like Freddy Flakes.
He won't get near you. He won't get near you, I promise.
You promise? You promise? So what, I just pick Chelsea up here and Kersey's gonna do nothing, huh?
No, you'll lead him to the factory and right into the trap.
Don't they look nice?
Cannolis.
Well, there she is. Poor, sweet, dim-witted Max.
Our resident retard.
Chicky choked to death on a cannoli. Do you not remember? You had a brain, you would take it off the plate!
He throws the cannolis at her.
Moron!
pork pie-style hat walks out of church and onto the pavement. Kersey's black SUV crawls along the street. Sal gets into his Jag, and Kersey follows him. At a junction, Sal glances in his rearview mirror and sees Kersey's Jeep turn onto the road behind him. Sal drives on, and Kersey stays on his tail. Sal taps a revolver resting on his lap.
Oh, Tommy. Yeah. I got Kersey on my tail now. I'm going to pick up Chelsea.
Sal flicks out the cylinder of his revolver, and the bullets drop out onto his lap. He tries to catch them and slews into the neighboring lane. A car skids to avoid hitting him and stops across two lanes. Oncoming cars brake to avoid hitting the car, and Kersey expertly weaves his SUV through the stationary cars. Sal takes a left turn and parks the Jaguar outside O'Shea's house. Kersey's managed to keep up with him and watches as one of O'Shea's men brings Chelsea out to the Jag. She gets into the passenger seat beside Sal.
Hey, sweetheart. Oh, Tommy. Yeah, I got Chelsea. Get everybody ready. We're on our way.
Sal drives on and Kersey follows. In his office at Olivia's factory, O'Shea pours himself a large, stiff drink. Three hoodlums, Angel, Mickey and Frankie, swagger in.
Angel, check out the toys.
They open a chest full of weapons.
It's rock and roll!
They grab guns.
All right.
Well, rock and roll your butts downstairs. And give Mr. Kersey the warmest of welcomes.
Let's do it. Come on.
Angel, Mickey, and Frankie head out with their guns. Sal's Jaguar pulls up outside Olivia's factory. Sal gets out and points at Chelsea in the passenger seat.
Stay there!
He opens the passenger door for her.
Come on. Let's go.
He pulls her towards the factory, and she struggles against him.
Hey! Hey! Get in there!
Sal opens the door and shoves her through. Kersey's SUV slowly drives down the street, passing Sal's Jag. Ponytailed Mickey, mustachioed Angel and shaven-headed Frankie creep onto the dark factory floor, their guns at the ready. Mickey holds an Uzi machine pistol in each hand and crouches down behind a crate.
You guys in position? Kersey should be showing up any time.
Mickey talks into his walkie-talkie.
Kersey won't know what hit him. I'll make him suffer.
Kersey, wearing a casual black leather jacket, walks across the road to Olivia's factory. He unlocks the door and goes inside. Sal brings Chelsea into O'Shea's office.
He's right behind me. The asshole, he's walking right into it.
Wonderful. Chelsea, come here.
You'd better come over here, you stubborn little shit.
No.
Hey, do what your father tells you.
Spoiled little brat.
Sal shoves her towards O'Shea's desk. Kersey, revolver in hand, opens a door leading onto the factory floor and pokes his head in, peering around at the gloom. He steps onto the factory floor and lets the door close behind him. Bald, burly Frankie holds the walkie-talkie to his mouth.
He's inside.
Frankie peers at Kersey from behind his crate. An angel pokes his head out from the shadows. The three gunmen watch Kersey walk past the sewing machines and stealthily take up new positions in the darkness. Mickey stalks through the shadows, tailing Kersey. He aims his rifle at Kersey, but can't get a clear shot with all the machinery in the way. Kersey carefully creeps through the shadows, keeping his eyes peeled for a target. Angel waits tensely in the gloom. Kersey steps up beside a forklift truck and pulls off his jacket. Mickey and Frankie watch and wait. Suddenly, lights blaze into life on the forklift, and it zooms along the factory floor, carrying a wooden crate on its forks. The forklift smashes through some shelving units, and Frankie runs towards it, firing his machine pistols. Mickey and Angel also open fire on the forklift, which crashes through some large storage tubes. Mickey fires a grenade at the forklift and blows it up. Clouds of flame blast across the factory floor, and sparks shower out from metal fencing beside electrical junction boxes. Frankie watches the forklift burning, and more waves of sparks spit out from the fencing as ruptured electrical cables connect with the metal mesh. A motionless figure sits behind the wheel of the forklift, burning. Frankie talks into his walkie-talkie as he runs over to the forklift.
He's history.
Shit. The burning figure is actually a shop mannequin in Kersey's jacket. Kersey appears behind the hoodlums and aims his pistol. They turn and open fire, and he shoots Frankie in the chest. He shoots the gun out of Angel's hands, then shoots Mickey. Mickey staggers back into the metal fencing and is electrocuted. Sparks shower out around Mickey as the voltage keeps him stuck against the fence. Finally, he slumps down to the ground. Kersey walks over to Angel, unarmed and cowering. Angel raises his hands, and Kersey picks up his pump-action shotgun.
Where's the girl?
Don't know.
Kersey gestures him forward, then kicks him in the back, shepherding him across the factory floor. In his office, O'Shea picks up his walkie-talkie.
Frankie?
He changes the walkie-talkie to another frequency.
Mickey?
Frankie and Mickey both lie dead, and O'Shea changes frequencies.
Angel?
How many more of you are there?
Angel?
No.
Angel?
He changes frequencies again.
Frankie!
Kersey forces Angel to a clothes packing area.
Get up there.
I'll
take a look.
Standing on a large turntable, Angel hands Kersey his walkie-talkie. Kersey turns him round.
What are you gonna do?
To help you remember.
Hold it!
Kersey hands Angel the end of a length of cling film from a tall, industrial-sized reel. Kersey presses a button, causing the turntable to rotate, and the cling film to wind around Angel.
Come on, Kersey!
As Angel rotates on the turntable, the cling film wraps tightly around him and begins to envelop him like a cocoon. It wraps around his head and face, and his eyes widen in fear. Kersey stops the turntable and slaps Angel on the shoulder.
Memory any better?
Angel frantically nods his head, and Kersey tears a hole in the cling film for him to breathe.
Where's the girl?
She's upstairs in the big room.
Anybody with her?
Sal and Tommy.
Kersey shepherds him off the turntable and hangs him up on a clothes hook on a carousel. Kersey puts his finger to his lips. Bound up in the cling film, Angel nods. Kersey presses a button, and Angel trundles off across the factory on the overhead carousel. In O'Shea's office, his walkie-talkie comes to life.
Yeah, Frankie. Where have you been? What have you been doing?
Kersey loads his gun.
You get Kersey?
I'm coming for you, O'Shea.
Paul! Paul!
Why don't you stand there, for Christ's sake?
Hey! Moron.
Chelsea runs out and Sal chases after her.
Sal! Sal!
What? What? Tell me, the kid's getting away!
That way, I'll meet you in the showroom.
Sal bursts through a door and steps into a shadowy stairwell. He cocks his gun and pauses at the top of the stairs, then slowly walks down, keeping his back to the wall. He reaches the bottom and aims his gun ready for an attack, then carefully walks on. Chelsea comes into the room where the fashion shows are held. It's unlit apart from small white spotlights that glide across the walls and catwalk. She walks into the empty room and looks around. She climbs up onto the catwalk and cautiously paces towards the archways at the back. Suddenly, O'Shea steps through one of the archways.
Don't even think it.
She runs. He chases after her and grabs her. She bites his hand and runs. Chelsea races through one of the archways. Sal, gun in hand, slowly walks onto the shadowy factory floor. The overhead carousel is still whirring around in a circuit, carrying clothes and Angel still bound up in cling film. Sal carefully paces through the darkness. Sal spins round and shoots at a rail of clothes which rolls past.
Sal!
Panicking, Sal shoots Angel.
Jesus! Sal!
Dead Angel hangs limply on the hook. Sal looks around the gloomy factory floor and cautiously walks backwards. He hits a button, stopping the carousel. Sal peers around a corner. A shadowy figure darts across the factory.
Kersey!
He misses Kersey and runs out of bullets.
Shit.
Kersey walks towards him.
Kersey, I'm unarmed. I have no gun. Hey? You wouldn't shoot an unarmed man, would you? Would you? Kersey?
He makes to throw a flick knife and Kersey shoots him, blasting him backwards through a set of double doors and down a ramp to an industrial grinding machine. Sal slides headfirst into the grinder's wheels and his legs shake. Chunks of human flesh spew down a chute and into a white bag which soon becomes stained with blood. Kersey finds a bottle and smashes it against a wall. Chelsea runs through the dark dressing room.
Please, help me!
O'Shea is after her. She runs down the stairs leading to the factory floor. Kersey looks around. O'Shea's right behind Chelsea. Kersey's leg pokes out from behind some clothes, tripping O'Shea over. Kersey screws the bottle into his cheek.
How's that feel, you son of a bitch?
Bastard!
Police cars arrive outside the factory. Lieutenant King gets out of an unmarked car, just as Chelsea runs out of the building.
What?
He's upstairs with Tommy.
Kersey aims at O'Shea.
Guns make you nervous.
O'Shea looks up at him.
I'm going to beg you, son of a bitch. Please. Please!
No! Freeze, come back! Frozen!
O'Shea grabs Kersey's dropped gun and shoots King. Kersey's grabbed the shotgun and kicks the pistol out of O'Shea's hand.
Wait! Listen. Whatever you want, whatever you need,
I don't need anything. But you, you need a bath.
Kersey prods O'Shea with the shotgun, and he falls backwards into the pool of acid. O'Shea writhes as his flesh is eaten away. Kersey watches O'Shea's agony, then walks away. O'Shea's head sinks below the acid, his face an open, bloody sore. Kersey walks over to Wounded King.
You okay?
Yeah, I think so.
What are you going to do about me?
Don't worry, I'll take care of it.
Girl's outside, she's safe. Thanks, Lieutenant.
Kersey hands over the shotgun and walks away.
Hey, Lieutenant, if you need any help, give me a call.
ITFC Audio Description.